Welcome to Line of Judah Online. My name's Gary Stevens. The subject we're doing at present is called the Word of God, and we're doing part two from a six-part series. Today's topics we'll be doing two. The first one will be the two worlds created, a spiritual world and a natural world, and the next topic will be the Bible is God's Word. In the very beginning, the spiritual world existed, but not the natural world. When we go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void," or empty, "and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." Verse 3, "Then God said, let light be, and light was. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." 5, "God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day." Now, when we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, we actually see what actually happens. It says in verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. For by the elders obtained a good testimony, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things that were visible." What I want you to see here in the scripture, that God used words to frame the world, and also God used faith, which is substance. He put substance into those words to create the worlds. Born-again believers are meant to do the same thing. We are to take the word of God, speak it out, and believe in faith, and allow the Holy Spirit to make that become a reality. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they separated themselves from God. They separated themselves from the life of God. This separation causes the link to be broken or removed between his creation called mankind and God the Father. Let's now go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Reading from verse 17. "Then God said to Adam, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and you have eaten from the tree of which I have commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field." Verse 19, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And Adam called his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife the Lord made tunics of skin, and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken." Verse 24, "So he drove out the man and placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every which way to guard the way to the tree of life." What I want you to see here quite clearly is this is describing that the link was broken between man and God, and God had to protect mankind from going into the garden again and eating from the tree of life, which would have put them in a fallen state forever. What I also want you to understand here is God is not cursing the land and them. God is saying, because of you've sinned, this is the result, and the curse is the result of you sinning. But please understand, God's not cursing mankind or the earth. This is the result of sin, what it did to the earth, and it's still in the earth today. From the very beginning of the sinfall in the Garden of Eden, God started planning a plan to redeem mankind. And Jesus Christ was the answer for this, but Jesus had to come into the future. It says in John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us," or lived among us, "and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Because the link was broken by God and mankind in the Garden of Eden, God had to find another way to put a link back into the earth. And Jesus Christ became that link between God the Father and mankind. We can see this link established in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. "And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Our faith-filled words reach from the natural world which we live in to our mother world, the spiritual world, and our needs are met through the promises of God and through Jesus Christ. The Bible, or the Word of God, says that God watches over his word to perform it, and that Jesus Christ is the guarantee of that word coming to pass in our lives. It is important for every born-again believer to understand that there are two worlds created. There's the spiritual world, which is the mother world, and the natural world, you could say, is the child. And the natural world is subject through the Word of God, through God himself and the Holy Spirit, to the spiritual world. Let us now go to the next topic, and it's called The Bible is God's Word. The known will of God is the written word of God, or the Bible, and it's called the Logos. We see this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. And it reads from verse 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." The unknown will of God is his spoken word. It's called Rhema. In other words, when you're praying to God and you need an answer and you get a word from somebody, or you get a word in your spirit that God tells you to do something, that's called a Rhema word. It's not written in the Bible. For an example, a person may be sent by God to another country, but before the person goes to that country, the person may pray and say, "God, I need to know what country you want me to go to be a missionary." Then God will speak to that person through a word from somebody else, or through directly into the heart of that person. And God may say, "I want you to go to such and such a country." But that country is not written directly in the Bible. The Bible says, "Go into the world and preach the gospel." So the believer says, "Okay, God says to go into the world and preach the gospel. And I've got a word from God that he wants me to go. And he's now told me what country," but that country is not written directly in the Word of God. So it's a Rhema word given from God to the believer. Another point I would like to say is God, his Word, and Jesus are one. They're all the same. And we saw this in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, and John chapter 1, verse 14. "The Word became flesh," that is Jesus, "is the express image of the God's Word manifested in flesh form." Jesus, the Word of God, became flesh. We see this in John chapters 1, verses 1 to 5 and verse 14. The Word of God is truth and final authority in the life of a believer. God's Word is his will, and it was given to mankind to know and understand his ways and his thoughts. And that's why Jesus came to the earth also. He said, "I only do and say what my Father says and does." So God sent his Son to the earth so the earth could understand his ways and his thoughts through Jesus Christ. So when you look at Jesus Christ, you're looking at the Word of God at the same time. The Word of God is for everyone. There is no private interpretation, and God sent his Word for everybody. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 to 21, we read, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Verse 20, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." This scripture is saying that the Word of God is for everybody, not just specific people in the fivefold ministry or pastors only or ministers of the gospel. It is for everybody to have and to work with. I want you to also note here that the Word of God was given by holy men as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In other words, man did not make up the Word of God. The Holy Spirit received the Word of God from God and gave it directly to man. And as man received the Word of God, they wrote it down, and these became the Scriptures, or the Word of God, or the Bible. God's Word is forever established in heaven. We read this in Psalm chapter 119, verse 89, reading from verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, your Word is settled in heaven." The Bible also says that God watches over his Word to perform it. And we see this in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Reading from verse 12, it says, "Then the Lord said to me, 'You have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word.'" And also in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, we read, "So shall my word go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void or empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper the thing to which I sent it. Both these scriptures are saying God watches over his word to perform it. The word of God, the Bible, is the only authorized book from God the Father through the Holy Spirit to mankind. God wants the believer to take that book, that word of God, put it in his heart, speak it out of his mouth so the Holy Spirit can work on those words and make those words coming out of the believer become a reality. God says, I want you to be conformed into the image of my dear Son. So it's God's will for every born-again believer to be conformed into the image of Christ Jesus. In the next audio message, part 3, we're dealing with two topics. The topics will be after the fall of mankind, and the last topic will be, as believers, we have the victory already. Thank you for being with me today, and God bless.